We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
I want to read some verses this morning from the second chapter of the Gospel of John. Now when he, that is Jesus, was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast days, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself on them because he knew all men, and he needed not that any man should testify of him, for he knew what was in man. Now, you know, those three verses, 23rd, 24th, 25th verses, of the second chapter of the Gospel of John, are wonderful verses. I want to read them over again. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast days, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself on them because he knew all men. And he needed not that any man should testify of him, for he knew what was in man. You know, my friends, Jesus Christ, of course, was a miracle-working Son of God. You can't explain Jesus humanly. There's no human way you can explain him. I know he was a Son of God. I know as someone that said he was a Son of God by the divine word he spoke. Never man spake as he spake. You take the sayings of Jesus, they're not like the sayings of anyone else in the world. You take the most profound and yet the simplest statement in all languages, one statement in the fifth chapter of Matthew, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Every word a monosyllable except one. Here he was, so profound, so deep, nobody could ever been able to fathom all he said, yet so simple. You know, after all is done and said, simplicity is truth's most becoming garb. You don't have to dress up truth. Truth can wear simple clothes. Falsehood has to dress up and appear to be something it isn't. But truth can come around plainly dressed. In fact, we speak of the naked truth. Truth doesn't even have to wear clothes. Truth is irresistible. Man may resist the truth, but the truth is never destroyed. Twice two's four. That's in the physical realm. That always has been. So, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, have everlasting life. That's just as true as twice two's four. Just as true. The same God that made the law sent his Son to die in this world. Twice two's four. Everybody said, that's right. Well, all right. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He, God the Father, gave Jesus his Son to die on a cross, so whosoever believes him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's just as true as anything in the physical realm. Now, he came down this earth. He was God manifest in the flesh. He went about performing miracles. You know, if Jesus Christ wasn't God, why hasn't there been another one? You can put Jesus Christ up with the side of anybody that ever lived. And there's a difference between Jesus and the best person ever lived, but there's a difference between noonday and midnight. You can take all the prophets of the Old Testament, all the apostles of the New Testament, compare them with Jesus. You can't compare them. You might compare Peter with John, or you might compare Paul with somebody else, but you can't compare Jesus with anybody. And there never was but one, and there will be but one. He's the only begotten Son of God who came down to this earth to die on the cross to save sinners, and there never has been but one. I never have understood why people had any trouble about believing the deity of Christ. All you have to do is study his life. You know, somebody said, well, how do you know the report's true? Well, somebody else said, if Jesus Christ wasn't God, then I would worship the man that could imagine him. Nobody else could ever imagine anybody like Jesus Christ. All the pagan gods that they ever imagined were corrupt people. Had something wrong with them. They were imperfect people. But you can't find anything wrong with Jesus Christ. In the divine words he spoke, he never said, I think. He never said, this is my opinion. He never said, this may be so. He just went ahead and said it. And they said, we never heard anybody talk like that. Never man spake like this man spake. We've heard great things today. He was the Son of God. And I know that by the divine words he uttered and the divine works he wrote. You know, I've seen a lot of things. I believe God heals the sick sometimes. I think sometimes in answer to God's prayer. I don't believe it's always God's will to do that. I think it's a false statement, and I think it has a bad effect, and I think it does great harm to say it's God's will to always heal the sick. I don't think there's a word of truth in it. I don't think the statement's correct. I know it isn't so. It's not always God's will to heal us, see. Paul himself had something the matter with him. He had his infirmities, and he called it a thorn in the flesh, and he asked for it to be removed, and God told him he wouldn't remove it, but he'd give him grace. Sometimes God Almighty prefers to give us grace to suffer rather than to free us from the suffering. We need to learn some things like that. There's a lot of superficial talking this day and time. But you know, I have been around a good deal in my lifetime. I hear about these great healing services. And I don't doubt that sometimes God hears prayer for the sick. I don't have any question about that. You know, it's a rather peculiar thing. You stop to think about it, how I've gone on through the years. And I've prayed, and I've had folks pray for me. Somebody said, well, you must have always had such good health. Well, I had a good constitution, but I haven't had such good health. Something nearly always has hurt me nearly all my life. I'm not serious. But then I got thinking about the proposition. Did you know I was sent west when I was 21 years old for tuberculosis? One of the leading throat men of America passed on me and said I had tuberculosis of the throat. Sent me out west. I came back home at the end of about 2 months. They had seen my throat again, and he said there wasn't any sign of it. Now, God may have performed a miracle. I don't know. The doctor said I had it. I suppose he was right. I don't know. But he said I had it. But, you know, I had appendicitis with a ruptured appendix, going around with a ruptured appendix, went out of the hospital, went to bed, was operated on. And the doctor said one of the worst cases ever so. I was in bed for 9 weeks with typhoid fever, and suffered there. The doctor said the lowest man he ever saw would get down near death and get well. I had pneumonia, and the old doctor said the worst case he ever treated lived through it. Now, that's healing. That's healing of some kind. You know, we wouldn't any of us be alive if God Almighty didn't take care of us. Send us the sunshine and the blessings and the elements of health and take care of us. I did have a good constitution, but I've been sick a good deal. Had those kept going. And all through these years, you have to. You may have swallowed the germ of death and didn't know it. God may have healed you without your even knowing you were healed. He may have kept a germ out of from destroying your life. It doesn't take much to take away a human life. Yes, God all around us, all the time, working miracles. Well, if Jesus Christ was God, there's no problem about saying that he could heal the sick. Break up funerals. Say, why don't some of these other people, these healers, break up some funerals? Why don't they take a fellow that's been dead 4 days like Lazarus and tell him to come out of the grave and have him to come out? You never see that. I've seen a lot of things, but I never saw that. Why don't they have a fellow on his way to the cemetery and with his mother weeping over him and go and break up the funeral and get the fellow off the stretcher and get him on his feet and send him back to the arms of his mother? Why hasn't there been somebody else could do what Jesus Christ did? Now, greater things than he did, he said, you may do because I go to my Father. But there are greater things than physical healing. There are greater things than opening the blind eyes and stopping deaf ears. The greatest thing in the world is to get people saved. And when Jesus Christ went back to heaven, on the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 people after the Holy Ghost came down upon them. And there were that many that day added to the body of Christ, to the body of believers. And that's greater than raising the dead and healing sick people. We forget that sometimes. But you know, men and women, Jesus Christ was God. How could you doubt it? How could you question it? And many believed on him, it says here, because they saw the works he did, the miracles he wrought. Now, you know, blessed is a man that's never seen Jesus with his physical eyes that believe on him. You've seen what Jesus can do. You've seen what he can do in the lives of people. I've seen him take fallen women and make them pure, drunkards and make them sober. I could write books, I could write volumes about miraculous things I've seen God do. Things that you couldn't explain any other way. Except God did it. You couldn't explain it psychologically. You couldn't say man did it. And you couldn't deny that there was sin either. And you couldn't deny there was illness and death and sickness, pain, sorrow. What a wonderful God. And yet the saints go on and die. I remember my dear old father, a rugged physical specimen. He was a Civil War, went through the Civil War, was wounded at the battlefield of Chickamauga. And my father, rugged, strong man, he died. He was about 70 years old from an infection. And I remember how he prayed it was the Lord's will to heal him, that he could be spared to his family. And I used to sit by his bed. I was a Christian, and pray too with him that God's will. But God didn't see fit to get him on his feet. But oh, what a victorious death he had. I've often thought, if my father had got well, it wouldn't have affected me like the way he died when he was in the last throes of death. And he said to us, he's going home. He'd been praying all day. It was God's will for he'd be healed. And he began to sing a wonderful song. That song that you've heard is one of my favorite gospel songs. It touches me deeply every time I hear it. Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. I thought he had a very good voice. And there, with a death rattle in his soul, he sang that song. And as he sang it, he reached the words, when at last I near the shore, and the fearful breakers roar twixt me and the ocean wild. With a tremble of that song on his lips, he slipped away to be with God. Why, that was a miracle. Talk about the miracle of healing. The miraculous thing was that my father, like all men, he'd been a sinner, had been saved. And now in the hour of death could sing praises to God for his glorious salvation. You know, miracles, miraculous as any miracles that you read about in the New Testament, the saving of a soul, the power of God, the gospel, that which is wrapped up in the gospel, the simple story. Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, was buried, the third day he rose from the dead according to Scripture. Now, here's a little story that has in itself inherent power to do that thing. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. You know, he didn't say if you explain it to people, but he said, go preach it. He didn't tell you to explain it. He said, go preach it. Go proclaim it. And it's the power of God. And you talk about that message, you say, well, you've got to teach people. Why, men and women, did you know that simple gospel's message proclaimed has in it the power of God to transform human lives? So they believed on him when they saw the miracles he performed. What the Lord's done for others, he can do for you. He can save you, he can give you victory over your temptations, he can deliver you. He's the Son of God, all-powerful, able to save unto the uttermost all who come to God by him. May God help you to come to him if you haven't done it. Trust him. And if you have surrendered to him and don't have victory, God help you to surrender completely and get the victory you need. And he can give it to you. He's able to do it. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that Christ receiveth sinful men and sets sinful men free and gives sinful men victory over their sins. We thank thee for such a great Savior. Help us to be faithful to him. Lead us by thy Spirit today. Keep us near thyself. Keep us true to the Lord Jesus Christ in everything. May we love him and may we be faithful to him. May we confess him. May we exalt him. May we magnify him. May we hold him up so men can see him. Poor lost sinners can come to him. Hear us in this prayer. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.